Cars, Super Late Models, Thunder Cars, Modifies, World of Outlaws, Arcas, all here. Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt. On races, fame, short tracks. All the way to the high banked oval. This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
Here's your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Mic don't work. Ah, it's starting to come on here. Hang on a second.
You just got to wiggle it a bit.
Yeah, I got to wiggle it a bit.
Hey, it's been a while.
There we go. Good evening, everybody.
We haven't been in the studio for a while.
Yeah, I know. Obviously, that there mic didn't want to open up, but we got her open. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Racetime Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in here tonight. Man, have we got a dynamite lineup for you, and happy Father's Day to absolutely all you dads out there. This could be a lot of fun tonight. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with my number one son here in the Racetime Radio Studio, Joe Chisholm Jr.
Happy Father's Day to you, too.
What do you think?
Yes.
What a weekend.
It was. It was a beautiful weekend. If you enjoy rain in Ontario, yeah. It was a great weekend.
Yeah. No kidding.
Cool temperatures. But, man, it's been 3 weeks since we've been on the air with the talk version of the program. Obviously, you've done
it
a couple of races
out
on the East Coast. But, it's nice to be back in the studio, and let's talk about some racing.
There's been a lot
of stuff happen over the last couple weeks.
Oh, there has. And we're going to try and touch on as much of it as we possibly can. But
100%.
We also got to congratulate the Raptors and, of course, Sirius XM Channel 167, our home, Canada Talks, which did host all of those Raptor games, and sure hope you enjoyed it. Those guys won the NBA
Finals.
Championship.
Yeah.
How about that?
It's big.
Yeah, it's huge.
And they didn't even riot too bad downtown Toronto. Imagine that.
No.
Looking back on it, the first real, major championship that Toronto has brought back since, the Blue Jays, right? 93,
yep.
92, 93?
Yep, something like that.
Man, it's been a long time, so Toronto definitely deserves it. It's a huge sports town, but it was definitely pretty cool. And you know what the neat part about the Raptors is, and same thing can be said about the Blue Jays, but really it's the only team in the league that is on this side of the border, right?
So
it's not just Toronto. It's the entire country
it
behind
is.
Them.
It and, is. It's like the Blue Jays, right?
Exactly. Same type of deal. It's definitely pretty cool to see and to see unfold. I'm not a big basketball guy.
No. But you've gone to a Raptors game at least. I've never been to one.
Yeah, I've went there and I've paid my $14 for the one beer that I had there and watched what we watched. But I'm definitely a racing guy through and through. You can say that. I can say that with a clear conscience.
Sure you can. Okay, let's switch gears in and let's do talk about racing. Let me tell you who we got coming up on the show tonight. A stacked lineup. The guest that we've got lined up for you, real cool stuff. Got a Speedway out in Sydney.
Yep.
And it's going to open up again. The new owner of that Speedway, Greg Dow, is going to join us here in short order. He's going to come on and we're going to talk to him about his new acquisition and the Speedway and what all is going to be coming down. It used to be, Miners Memorial Speedway out in Sydney, and it's now changed hands.
So,
it was closed, I believe, for a couple of years, and now Greg's got it, and he's going to run with it, so can't wait to talk to him. It's going to be cool.
If my memory serves me correct, this racetrack has changed hands a few times since we've been on the air, right?
Sure has.
So this racetrack has definitely changed hands. By the sounds of it, all things are pointing. The name's going to change. All things are pointing to a very bright future with this place. And Greg
Here's
is definitely
open.
Greg is the type of guy to take this thing, and grow it. And definitely looking forward to seeing that. It's cool that the racetrack stuck around.
Yes.
When you look at them in Ontario, they closed down for 3 months.
Yeah.
It is no longer a racetrack anymore.
Yeah, they're gone.
And
yeah.
They just get bulldozed. And the neat part there is that, you know, it shut down, but it didn't turn into, you know, a housing complex or
right,
or,
right.
or a track and field with a school built on it. It remained a racetrack. We'll talk to Greg about, you know, the plans of the facility. Obviously, when it sits for a couple of years, there's a lot of work to be done there.
Sure.
We'll get a scope of what's going to happen this year and kind of see, you know, a look behind the curtain and see what's going to happen over the next couple.
Yes, sir. Now, right after Greg, we're going to hear from Anarka Menards driver. He came away with another top five finish just last night at, I believe they were at Salem. I watched the race.
No.
Was that last night? No, night before.
They're up in Wisconsin.
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 Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't Salem. Race. But it was up in Madison.
Madison. You're
yeah.
right. Yeah.
Madison.
You're right. Madison Speedway. The number 23, Brett Holmes, is going to join us tonight. That guy has been Mr. Consistency in the series. And I believe he's sitting like either second or third in the points.
Yeah.
Doing a real good job, and we're going to catch up with Brett tonight.
Yeah, definitely should be pretty cool. We'll take a look at his season because it's been, you know, very steady, like you've said. They haven't had the speed that they've wanted all year.
Right.
It seemed like they can get the track position, they can get the opportunity, but they just don't break through on the speed chart yet. I think that's the only thing that they're missing. We'll talk to him about it. He's had a great season so far, and we'll take a look. This is kind of the grueling part of the ARCA season.
Sure,
you know, it's going to roll into that part. Basically, from June till August is go time for those guys, and there's a lot of back-to-back races coming up, and not too many breaks. So, if you can get through to this point of the season and be where they're sitting in points, they're sitting really good to go out and win the championship if they can find the speed that Venturini has.
I heard Bob last night on, or was it Jim? Jim on the broadcast say, you know what, this is mid-season already for the ARCA series, and. Man, time's rolling for those guys. Brett is going to get that W real soon. You can feel it. He's right there.
You can, for sure. He's been, you know, they've put Brett in a great situation in a majority of these races. Towards the end of the race, it seems like, you know, they get into a little bit of trouble through the beginning, and then they find their way to a decent track position spot. But that usually comes at the discount of tires, and
right.
that's where they've been kind of, you know, in the majority of the races that I've watched, you know, looking back to Charlotte, looking back to even Five Flags Speedway, really, they've never had the opportunity to roll out with decent track position with new tires with the advantage, you
right.
know, of having that. So strategy has definitely been a difficult portion of that, but you know, it all lends back to speed. If you have the speed, you control your own strategy and you control your own destiny. So we'll take a look. I know they're definitely pleasantly surprised at where they are. This has been the championship season in ARCA that
right.
nobody wants to win.
Right. Yeah.
Really, you know,
Michael Self, look at that.
Yeah,
oh,
no,
so close to winning that race, 20 to go.
Exactly.
But Chandler Smith, man, that 20 car was hooked.
When you look at it, you know, the top five guys, they've had their share of struggles.
Sure.
And you know, you usually see a couple of guys come out of the gate and they stay out of the gate and they stay good all the way through the year. You
right.
know,
right.
That hasn't been the case in ARCA. There's been, you know, there's been blown motors. There's been wrecks. There's been, you know, just random things happening like Eck is getting sick, you know.
Right,
The same type of thing. It's just, you know, Brett and really Travis Braden, they haven't had any of the crazy stuff happen to them.
Right.
And they're sitting in where they are in points because of that,
mm-hmm.
but they don't have the speed to go out there, and you got to light the lamp and get a couple of W's in order to win this
right.
deal.
Yeah,
so,
you do. And when you think back to the year, Austin Terrio, when he won the championship in the 52 car,
yeah.
he was like you just mentioned, he had the wins, he had the consistency, he was up there, and it was all season long.
Yeah, exactly. And really,
Rand Enfinger, when he did it,
yep,
same thing.
Yep. Even back to Chris Buescher when he did it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to be lights out fast everywhere you go.
No.
You need to be consistent. You need to top five your way to the championship in ARCA. Or really, top five yourself into a position where you can top 10 yourself into the championship. Is right. What you need to do with ARCA.
Yep, yep.
And really the same thing can be said about any form of racing, but ARCA is a different animal. You've got a lot of guys that come in with lights out speed that are affiliated with cup teams or bush teams or whatever, that are very stout. But they only race 6 or 7 times throughout the year.
Right.
If you're going to run for the championship, totally different dynamic, I would say, in ARCA than any other series. Because really, you're only racing against about 10 guys, right? 8 to 10 guys for championship points.
For points, yeah.
But you're racing against 25 guys for speed and track position throughout those events. So it's very easy to go to a place like Pocono and run 15th and lose yourself a bunch of points,
right?
And one of your competitors gain a bunch of points.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The delta that needs to be closed up in points in ARCA, you need to have the speed to drive up to the front and minimize your distraction or your reduction in points on those bad days.
Right.
So, you know, I have viewed the ARCA series this year more than ever, thanks to MAV TV.
Right.
Thanks to FS1, you know, having the access to watch it, but. Really, when you look at the season itself, it's a really interesting dynamic rolling in towards the end of the year.
Yeah, and it's an awesome series to watch. I don't trust me, when there's a race on the ARCA series and it's on MAV TV, we're not missing a lap.
No.
It's so cool.
Very cool.
And they do a great job with the broadcast. So we will catch up with Brett Holmes here tonight. We'll also catch up with the last APC winner. A little bit of controversy at the end of this one, and we're going to talk to Matt Perdigo tonight.
Yeah.
And we'll find out about that global warranty Toyota and going to Victory Lane. Good run for him. We watched the video. Oh, man, contact, definitely contact.
Yeah.
Was it heavy duty? I'm stuffing you. I don't think so.
We'll talk
doesn't
about that.
Doesn't look like it.
We'll talk about that in depth, you know, with Matt when we get him on the program. It was definitely a wild show at Flamborough.
Sure was.
I mean, flip a light switch, completely different than what we've seen at Sunset Speedway.
Yes.
You know, Sunset was just a great race, all in all. Everybody left there feeling like they watched a good race happen.
Right.
But nobody left there with a bent front clip or rear. Different thing could be said about Flamborough. It was a very rough race, and those happen.
Speaks to the urgency to win in that series and the competition.
100%.
Yeah.
It, you know, you could tell, I said it probably 15 times in the pit area at Flamborough, there was way too much tension in the air.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted more than what they got at Sunset,
yeah,
other than Jordan Sims.
You said that when you come home. You said, wow, you could cut the tension in the air with a knife.
You could.
And that was before the race even went.
You could. And
yeah.
And there was a lot of people hungry for more than what they got over
right.
at Sunset. You know, and not that they left there with hurt feelings, but they left there hungry.
Right.
And when you have a bunch of guys, you know, when you look at the practice sheet from Flamborough.
Right.
I'm talking, there was 15 cars all in the twos.
Wow.
And there was 5 cars in the ones.
Really?
And then there was a few cars out back, you know, with a little bit higher times. But, I mean, the parity in the series is epic. And at a place like Flamborough that is super one groove, when the parity is there,
yeah,
you can't get by somebody without contact. You
right.
know, that's the way that it seems. So as the race built, you know, as the laps started laying down, guys were finding themselves. They had a fourth place car, but they're running in 15th.
Right.
And they, you know, they got a little bit aggressive. And, you know, it was definitely the fans got their money's worth at Flamborough Speedway. Let's just say that. Now, I will say this about that. I need to personally apologize to the APC series.
Yeah.
My conduct in the spotter stand, everything was heated. You know, I need to publicly apologize for the way that, you know, I kind of reacted to a bunch of situations.
Mm-hmm.
But
it was
a wild race. It was a wild event. We'll talk about it with Matt, get his perspective on that portion, and kind of go from there.
Yeah, and we'll preview what's to come. Lots still to come in the APC series presented by Grisdale, and we'll catch up with Matt Perdigo here tonight. And to wrap up the night, we've got lots of time for Alex Tagliani. Finally, going to get Tags on the program. He's going to join us tonight. Looking forward to that.
Well, when you get Tagliani on the program, you got to be careful when you book him because he's basically two guests all in one, right? he's an ambassador for the sport, and he's a driver of the 18 car. We always go off on a tangent and talk about something different. He's a guy that's very vocal, and he's definitely opinionated. About certain situations and things like that. Every time we get him on the program, if you notice, we usually have five guests. When we've got Alex, we have four guests because we end up talking about a lot of cool stuff. So just a great guy and not having the season kick off like he wants to.
No.
You know, he's had some rough situations throughout the first couple races in the Pinty Series, rolling into a track where they struggled big time last year at Autodrome Chaudière. But it's going to be definitely interesting to catch up with Alex, cover off what he's got rolling into you know, Chaudière. When looking at the schedule lineup, after we get past Chaudière, that's when Alex Tagliani comes to life. And this is the stretch where last year he made up a bunch of points.
Sure did.
So when you get to the Toronto Indy, you know, when you get to races like Trois-Rivières and Saskatoon at a high momentum racetrack, that's where it tends to turn the corner for Alex. So, you know, Ranger and Lacroix have came out of the box strong. Both of them have put their flag in the ground and said, we're going to race this year and we're going to go after the championship. Well, Kevin Lacroix and Ranger did the same thing last year, but they didn't get the job done.
Right.
Who did was Alex Tagliani and LP Dumoulin. And I honestly feel that there's going to be it's going to be a four-car hunt when we get down towards the end of this deal.
You think?
I honestly think so. It's going to be, if not five, when you look at the speed of a couple of those outer cars, there's I've never seen Ranger or the top two guys, two back-to-back races, race each other the way that they have, you know, as clean as they have.
And early in the race.
Too late in the race. The entire race, they raced around each other clean.
Right.
But very fast. It's going to attract that same competition, you know, from a couple other guys as well. So they haven't gapped the field by much.
Right.
But they have definitely injected a completely different dynamic than we've seen in the past couple of years.
Well, can't wait to hear from Tags, and we're going to do that tonight. But what do you say we hit this break? We'll get Greg on the hotline, and we'll talk Sydney next here on Race Time. We'll get after it. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hey, race fans. It's Kyle McKenzie. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Summer is in full swing at Scotia Speed World.
Join us live
Saturday, June 22nd
for live coverage
of the Nova Truck Centers Make-A-Wish 150.
I think you got to go now.
Give me a gap, open up, you want to bring it home? Yeah!
It's Canada's Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour.
Saturday, June 22nd
at 4 p.m. Eastern for the Nova Truck Centers Make-A-Wish 150. Worldwide, only on racetimeradio.com.
Good job, bud.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tiltload, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
Don't get stuck waiting for your machinery and materials to be moved. Call Atlantic Tilt Load in Dartmouth or St. John to ask about 24-hour hotshot service. They have the equipment, drivers, and experience to get your cargo where it needs to be swiftly and efficiently. Can provide logistics planning, including escort vehicles and special move permits. They've been moving heavy industrial equipment throughout Canada and the U.S. since 1991, including overweight and over-dimensional shipments. For your next industrial heavy move, call Atlantic Tilt Load.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada, Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hey, hear rare interviews and performances. USA. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Racetime Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
Here's what you missed on NHL Game Day.
Scotty Bowman joins us. When you were coaching a team, was it important to kind of move a piece out, move a piece in, just to kind of keep it fresh, to bring in guys who hadn't won before?
I think winning a championship, it's very difficult to make changes. It'd be always good if you could add a piece or two without disturbing the chemistry of the team, which was not easy.
NHL Game Day on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. Sirius XM 91.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
It's Racetime Radio.
Hey, yeah, man. We're back. Welcome back to Racetime Radio. We're bringing back a little bit of Ozzy.
There we go. My mic, we're going to have to do something about that. But welcome back, everybody. Let's get to the hotline, shall we, Junior? And let's bring in that first guest from Sydney Speedway. Let's welcome in Greg Dowd. Greg, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay. Yourself?
Fantastic, my friend. Welcome to the industry as a track owner. That's a big deal, man. How are things at Sydney? How is it coming along?
Coming along great. Actually, we were just over for the weekend and had a good crew of guys just doing some of the maintenance work. We started some paving there last week and working today. We're finishing off the tower and then we got the tech shed looking a lot better and all put back together. And now they're starting on the bleachers now, trying to get those a repaste.
Incredible. Greg, how long did the track sit dormant before you picked it up?
I think the last events were in 2016.
Really? So a couple of years.
Fall of 16, yep.
Wow.
Amazing
that's
stuff.
Cool. That's cool that you've resurrected it. You know, like that's a story we need more of. And I absolutely love that. And hats off to you and your team for getting the sleeves rolled up and getting out there. Looking at the 2019 season, what does that look like kind of to kick the conversation off?
Well, we started for a July 6th and 7th opening day, and then we got a race later on in July. We're gonna bring for the first time the Bandolero cars to Sydney, and the legends will be coming off. So I believe the legends were there in earlier years gone past, but it's been a long time since they've been there. And then of course we're going to have the Honda Classic, the mini stock cars, and street stocks and sportsmen.
Cool. God, love it. Great lineup. Greg, what's your history in this sport? You obviously were definitely a race fan. Were you a race team? How did you take a look at the Speedway and say, hey, I'm going to be a track owner?
Well, growing up, always interested in cars and, things along those way. I did dabble with some racing back, I think, in about 2005 or 6 and 7. I ran a legend car a bit. And got out of it there shortly after. Children came along, and the business had ramped up a bit. And, time just didn't seem to have the time to continue with the racing at the time. So it got put on the back burner. And then as my children came along, I got them both in Bandoleros. And they've been running those for a few seasons now. And we got some legend cars around, which is going to be their next step, possibly, to move up into those. So, now I'm sort of living through them. Yeah. With the race thing a little bit, and the track was just I always thought that'd be an interesting sort of venue to do something of a business sorts. And, you know, this one came along, and I hummed and hawed about it for a while, and then eventually we did the deal.
Good for you. Awesome story and a good way to get involved with the sport. Were you a fan? Did you go to the Speedway much back under the other ownership?
Not so much, Sydney. I mean, I am a Halifax guy, like, you know, I mean, so, you know, I made one event there in the past, and but I've been around to, you know, obviously the Shediac track, the Petty track, the Riverglade, you know, Riverside, of course, Scotia, you know, Oda Exhibition Park track, you know. I've been to a number of the tracks and a number of NASCAR tracks. We generally pick up we try to at least go to one NASCAR race a year too. So, you know, we travel around watching some racing. In the last few years, we've been going down the Winter Nationals with my children running Bandoleros down there. We've also ran Atlanta. We ran at Bethel. So we chased it around in the off season a bit too.
So you got Motorola running through your veins, too. That's kind of cool. I watched, actually, those Winter Nationals, seen it from Citrus County, watched it. Good show. And seeing all those cars, pretty cool deal.
Yeah. No, I mean, it showed its hand in Halifax. I mean, it, you know, when this started out back, I believe, about 06. And look at those kids now. They're a lot of the top drivers you see now in the Pro Stock Series, you know, are running up there. Showed at Petty a couple weeks ago, I believe the top five were all former Bandolero Legend Car, you know, graduates that moved up through. And it was just to see that, you know, presenting itself, you know, up through the ranks is pretty exciting because people remember these guys as just little kids walking around the track.
Yeah, 100%. You're right. Seeing Cole Butcher and Dylan Blankhorn and those guys, Corey Hall is coming up through. So many good drivers, and that's how they got their start. Very cool.
And now you got Austin McDonald. I mean, he's down south again. He's had some Pro Stock debuts. I mean, Nicholas Noggle, same thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, to name a few more. I mean, it's pretty big. And Jared Butcher also, you know. It's pretty neat deal.
So, Greg, talk a little bit about the dynamic. You're based out of Halifax, which is what? Yep. It's about a 2.5 hour drive. Two hour.
Four hour. Yeah.
So with that that distance between you, are you going to have a general manager run the facility down there, or are you doing the commute?
Well, I mean, for this part, I'll be doing some commuting. You know, I mean, as we get this thing together, I mean, we've got some people in place for this year. We hope to grow on that. I mean, as a race director, Frank Fraser Jr. stepped up to do some race directing. I mean, his family's a pretty storied family in the racing around these parts, and actually all over, you know, as far as that goes. You know, so he stepped up to do this role for us, which is great. You know, we're putting in electronics in at the track. We're going to have transponders in all the classes. So, you know, that'll help for a lot of things. So the scoring will be done electronically. You know, we're going to be able to do some neat things in, like qualifying and a few other things. So, you know, I just hired on a lady from the area, which is going to be looking for getting sponsor advertising and sponsorship to the track. And she's very familiar locally. And, you know, and I'm getting a lot of helping hands over there. I mean, the people are seeing really behind me so far. So I hope that all turns over for on race day with the fans showing up, and hopefully we can give them a good show that they'll come back.
Absolutely.
You know, this schedule's pretty limited the first season, but you know, we're hoping to grow from there.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere, right? And it sounds like you're well underway. Things are looking good. Do you see Greg one day? Do you aspire to have a Pro Stock Tour race there one day?
Oh yeah, no. That's always the sort of the big picture thinking. You know, I joked with a few of the drivers and said, you know, maybe to get.
Hey, you. We got to get you to restart that entire sentence there. We lost you right as soon as you started talking. Your cell phone. You got to hold your left arm up and hold a stack of coins in your right hand.
No, I've talked to a few of the current Pro Stock guys, and I said, you know, if I was to put on a little 35 or 40 lap sort of deal, exhibition deal at the end of the year, the October 11th, 12th, 13th one we're going to have, when a few of them show up just for the fans to show that maybe the track could handle it and we could pull this off, you know, and if it looked like something that could happen and if the drivers give me good feedback, then maybe I go to the tour and ask if I could get a date, if that's at all possible. You know, of course, at that point, we got to have the rest of the facility ready to host the big show. But, you know, if that pulled off and that all went well, then maybe that's something we can work on.
Cool stuff. Tell us about the Speedway. I've never seen it myself. Is it a quarter-mile track? What's the size and what's kind of the configuration there?
Yeah, it's just a little quarter-mile bull ring. You know, I don't know what we'd have in the corner. I guess it'd be single-digit degrees, maybe nine. I don't know the exact. I'd say 8-9 degrees, possibly. You know, we're repaving both corner ends, so that should really help make it a two-groove track. And then anywhere that the asphalt's, you know, really tore up or anything on the front and back stretch, we're doing all the repairs on that for this season. So I think it worked out that we're doing about 15,000 square feet of paving.
Wow. Yeah, good for you. Good. That'll get things fired up. You bet Frankie will be just a smile, and he'll want to get a car and get out there.
Yeah, no, that would be great. And maybe even Dad, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Senior
that's right.
Role. Well, you know, get him out maybe. Yeah.
So is there a wall all the way around, or is it open-ended? How's that configured?
There's a wall from exiting turn two all the way around to turn one. Just one and two are open. And just got a bit of a, you know, area up there, a runoff area where some large tires in the back, but a large runoff area. So I think if a car did get off the track, it could cool its speed down before it get anywhere, you know, in trouble.
Yeah, good stuff.
That's for sure.
That's good. Now, social media, you guys got a website. How do people look into Sydney Speedway? What's the best way?
Yeah, we're operating on a Facebook page. We are building a website. Unfortunately, it just hasn't been turned on yet, but, you know, we're getting closer with that. But right now, it's mostly a Facebook page. And then Tim Terry's been helping us out. He's been posting up a lot of things for us through Tim's Motorsports and, you know, keeping updated progress and different storylines for us. And as race day gets closer, we'll start, you know, prompting a little more of that social media out there.
Good stuff. So opening night is July. What day in July?
Saturday, Sunday, July 6th and 7th.
Cool.
Good stuff.
Doubleheader.
The good stuff. And fans will be able to make it on out there and support Sydney Speedway. Best way to get to the racetrack. How do you get there? What's the best way to point people?
Yeah, it's right on 1162 Grand Lake Road. So follow the highway right to the end. And at that point, it's about a mile up the road, right on one of the main, it's right next to the University College of Cape Breton is a good mark to think. It's the next door property.
Cool.
Fantastic. Well, we'll keep our eye on you and definitely get you back on the program after that opening night. We'll see how everything turned out, bud.
Okay. No, great show.
We really appreciate your time, Greg. Good luck, and we'll be in touch.
Okay, all the best. Thanks for the call.
You bet. That is Greg Dow. It sounds like Sydney's firing up, Joe. That's good news.
That's really good news. And, you know, anytime you hear that a track owner, you know, is laying down pavement,
that's a good sign.
It's a great sign. And definitely, you know, you can hear his excitement. There's going to be it's cool to see a new owner, right? A new blood come in on the ownership side. It's definitely cool. I didn't realize that it was 4 hours away from Halifax. Yeah.
Yep.
So would it be closer then to 660 then? Is that?
You know what?
I'm trying to picture it geographically.
I don't think so. You would probably keep going right on past Riverside. And continue your way out, if it's out near Cape Breton, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to picture it.
And if you're going towards Moncton, then you're heading straight through at Turo.
Okay.
And on your way that way. But,
that's cool. No, that's really neat that I'm excited for them. Definitely, they've got some racing blood there, and you know, it should be pretty neat to see how everything kind of, you know, comes together. It's a growing process. The first year there'll be lots of growing pains, right?
Sure, sure.
There's getting the systems all put in place, and you know, it's quite the task bringing a, you know, older track that was shut down for a while into today's day and age. You know, building the website and getting those scoring pylons set up and getting the transponders all figured out, definitely a cool deal. But all the best to them, and good luck to everybody at Sydney Speedway.
You want to believe it. Okay, we're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have Brett Holmes. We'll talk some ARCA Menards Series Racing with a guy that had a top five this weekend. We got Brett Holmes coming up. Stay with us.
Hey, race fans, it's the 82 Fortinos Dodge, Dave Conley from Ottawa, and you're listening to Race Time Radio. Check us out at a local school. Go to fuelforkids.ca.
From coast to coast, you're listening
to Canada Talks.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tiltrope. Specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
Don't get stuck waiting for your machinery and materials to be moved. Call Atlantic Tilt Load in Dartmouth or St. John to ask about 24-hour hotshot service. They have the equipment, drivers, and experience to get your cargo where it needs to be swiftly and efficiently. Can provide logistics planning, including escort vehicles and special move permits. They've been moving heavy industrial equipment throughout Canada and the U.S. since 1991, including overweight and over-dimensional shipments. For your next industrial heavy move, call Atlantic Tilt Load.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Racetime Radio.
Only on Sirius XM 167.
We get you closer.
Summer is in full swing at Scotia Speed World.
Join us live
Saturday, June 22nd
for live coverage of the Nova Truck Center's Make-A-Wish 150.
I think you gotta go now.
Give me a gap, open up, you want it, bring it home, yeah!
It's Canada's Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour.
Saturday, June 22nd
at 4 p.m. Eastern for the Nova Truck Center's Make-A-Wish 150. Worldwide, only on racetimeradio.com.
Good job, bud!
If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Race Time Radio
on Sirius XM 167, Canada Talks.
And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And there we go. We are back with you. A brand new mic cord. I switched it out while we were on break, and I think, Junior, we got it.
That
hooked
was quite
back
the
up.
Little pit stop, by the way. Yeah. I just want to, you
not
know,
bad,
hats
right?
off. We wouldn't have went a lap down there.
No,
it was pretty close. You know, the yellow came out. You just came right down pit road. You got a brand new cord and slapped her to her.
And away we go. Speaking of fast, how about we get our next guest on the hotline here? He was real fast this past weekend in that ARCA Menard Series, driver the number 23. His name is Brett Holmes, and he's with us on the hotline. Brett, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, good. How are you?
Not bad at all. Man, you're Mr. Consistency this year. I know you haven't got the W yet, but you're getting there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think the whole team has felt like that's the next step we need to take, is get to the point where we can consistently get wins and be in the top three. We've definitely been one of the more consistent teams this season, finishing in the top five or really close to it every race.
You know, watching the race there, what was that, Friday night? Was it Friday night or Saturday
night?
Friday night.
Yep.
Watching the race, seeing that caution come out with 20 to go, knew those guys were pretty quick up front, but man, I seen that 23 car right there, and I thought, ooh, is this the spot? Is this where Brett's going to make it up and dust these guys? It looked like you were really close to coming, and like what a wild finish for that race.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I felt like it took us a couple laps to get going after a restart. We kind of struggled on restart of a lap or two after. But after we got going, I mean, we were one of the faster cars on track. And, you know, we at the end there really should have had third. The 21 and 27 snuck by us on the bottom when we tried to avoid a car on the lower side of the track. And, you know, we had been beating those guys all night. So, wish we had a third place finish and a better finish to show than what we had or what we finished in fifth. So, but I'm like I said, I'm really really proud of how far we've came this season compared to our past two seasons and how much we've improved and our finishes have shown that.
You know, Brett, looking back to 2018, you know, it never usually helps to look back a season to see how a race team is doing this year. But when you look back into 2018, you guys made a difficult decision. I guess it was towards the middle or the final third of the season to just basically, you know, shut the doors and regroup and reposition yourself for this season. You guys came out of the box strong at Daytona. And really have kind of carried that momentum steadily all the way through the season. Do you attribute that to the shutdown last year, to the regrouping? What do you attribute your success to this season? What do you attribute that directly to, or is it just a massive list of things?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I will say, you know, from my standpoint and on the team as well, it's a hard decision to make to do that, to shut down and or take a break for a little bit to kind of regroup. And we got some new guys in there, new crew chief, and that's what me and Nick Montra, our manager, worked on a lot over the season, over the off season, was finding a good fit for me and the team. And you know, like I said, that's a hard decision to make. You know, something I never had that big of a break from racing ever until then. So But I think it's definitely shown it was worth it. You know, it was a lot of hard work over the off season, changing our cars over to new updates and moving shops and, you know, getting acclimated to the new guys on the team. But I think we've really grown into a good friendship, not just them, you know, working for us or anything. It's really grown into a good relationship with all the guys. And like I said, I'm really, really happy to be where we're at right now. We actually shut down or stopped running sometime around last year around this time. So, I told the guys the other day at the racetrack, I said, this time last year I was 350 points, I believe, out of the championship points lead. And that day we were 15 points, I believe. So it's just everything, our finishes and points have shown how much better we've been this season.
Absolutely.
Well, and the driver too, right? You, my friend, have really, really done a good job. I can see spots on the racetrack where you may have struggled last year. Look at the same driver this year. You're not. You've got it. You're solid. You're running. And it's just a question of time when you get that to where that first W is. Look out the windshield for me, Brett. Tell me what track you're maybe circled on the calendar saying, okay, here is our best shot to go to victory lane.
I think the next two or three upcoming races, we've got Gateway this next week, Elko, Iowa, Chicago. I think those four races are going to be good races for us for sure. Honestly, I mean, I felt like we did well at those places last year, even with the cars we had in the past, so I'm really looking forward to those.
Yeah, nothing like getting excited to get back to a track, right? You get that notebook, you get a good feeling when you had left it the last time. You're just waiting for that opportunity to get back out there and go at it. It's been cool watching the ARCA series. Of course, I'm keyed in watching you guys. Nick Monster, that guy does a dynamite job as a GM. I've known Nick for quite a few years, and to watch his progression and growth, it's kind of cool to stand back here where I am and watch you guys do what you do. The results are coming, and it's through hard work and determination for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's really cool for us. I mean, you know, he was when we really wanted to revamp the team after 2017, we brought Nick on, and it's you know, it took a year or so after that to really get where we wanted to be, right where we're at now. You know, it's been a lot more fun and humbling to start our own team and build it from there that way than joining with another team and either striving for somebody. I think I've had a lot more experiences and lessons learned doing it this way than I would the other way. So, you know, I don't have any regret about, you know, what we've done and the changes we made. I think we've made the right calls this past season too, and I think it's only uphill from here.
Now, what's it like having the GM of your team on the radio as a spotter talking to you? Do you get to yell at him, or does he yell at you? Who yells at who more?
I'd probably say it's hard to say, honestly. They definitely boss me around more than I boss them. When it should be the other way around. Sometimes I get really frustrated, or when somebody does something stupid on track, I'll voice my opinion pretty strongly, and not so much of the guys on the team, because I know they're trying their best too, and we all want the same thing. So, you know, I know I don't yell at them too much and do anything like that. It's more so the people who are racing against.
Absolutely.
The good part about it, Brett, the good part about it is when Nick starts spouting off, the good part about it is you can turn the radio off or say, you know what,
that's
guys,
right.
My radio ain't working.
That's right. Just put your hand out the window. But
I hadn't done that yet. I'm too scared to do that.
Looking into the season, obviously this is a grueling stretch for basically everybody. I know, you know, a little bit of heat was troubling to lots of guys rolling into Pocono, and as well, I know Michigan there was some heat exhaustion, you know, throughout the field. Rolling into this part of the season, you guys are going to be back-to-back weekends for quite some time here, and you're going to be rolling into the hottest part of the season, really. But what are you doing differently to work on that hydration and to stay up on you know, kind of fending off that heat?
Well, to be honest with you, Charlotte was more the toughest race for me this season, far as heat and getting tired goes. That end of that race, I was really frustrated at myself, and just because I didn't like, you know, how I felt at the end of the race. I didn't like, you know, I wanted to be more mentally attentive and physically not feeling drained. And so I've taken a lot of steps to get better in that way, and seen nutritionists, and have started a different diet and ate and drank different before races. So it's really helped after that race for sure. I've changed a lot. So the summer races, you got to be in the game, man. You can't be out of shape to do this kind of stuff in this heat and how hot these cars get. So I've changed a lot of what I'm doing to help us out, and I think it really helped us out, especially at Michigan, Madison, and Pocono.
Yeah, for sure.
This sport has changed so much, Junior, where, you know, it used to be just jump in and drive the car and drive as fast as you can. Today, the landscape has changed so much. Nutrition, physical stuff that, you know, that the drivers have got to go through. You got car preparation. There's so many different elements that go into this.
Well, and, you know, a big thing, too, especially with these new carbon bodies, really, they used to bleed a lot of air into the cars for the driver. Not necessarily for the driver, but the driver would get air.
Right.
Today, even in a late model, it's all about sealing the car off, right, and stopping that air from getting inside. Or putting the air where you want it.
Right.
Not necessarily on the driver. So it's kind of, the driver has had to kind of take on this new responsibility of you know, getting himself right and to be able to sustain that, that hot temperature without any assistance from, you know, cool air or heavy cool boxes or any of that stuff. So really, it's all on you guys now currently, right? Right, Brett? It's, you know, it's kind of the gun's held to you, and you gotta keep yourself right.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you hit the nail on the head with that. I mean, you know, these cars are so much cleaner than what they used to be. It seemed a lot easier back then. And now it's, you know, watching from TV, you don't see how exactly tough it is or how it really feels inside the car. But, you know, you move up every level, it just gets harder. You know, these longer races and, these schedules and how often you race. So, you know, the driver is the most unreliable piece in the car. So I think is, you know, the more mentally attentive you can be and physically able to kind of sustain these longer races and these hot races, I think the better off you're going to be and the more you'll gain on track.
Absolutely.
NASCAR came out, bought ARCA, what was that, last year, I do believe, or it was the year before that. Do you find much of a difference, Brett, now that NASCAR is obviously more involved with ARCA? Do you find a big difference, or is it pretty well the same?
It's a lot of the same this season. The biggest change is going to be next season. You know, I think, you know, even looking at car counts-wise, I think that everybody's kind of in the standstill to see what's going to happen before they make any big commitments to either series. And I think that's kind of the answer why people haven't been as many cars coming to our races, but it's still undoubtedly a strong field and competitive group of cars. I mean, we've had there's a few teams that are associated with NASCAR teams, like in trucks and Xfinity, and we even have a cup team filming our cars. So it's not a, we definitely have still strong guys there, but no, like I said, not a lot of changes have been made this year. All of that's going to start next year, and we've been kind of hearing snippets and little bits every few weeks or so what changes are going to be made and to the cars, the schedule, and the series as a whole.
Now, you're obviously a Southern guy, so you're not necessarily in the heart of
you
Charlotte.
You say obviously, like you can tell.
Oh, no, we can tell, bud. We can tell. You're talking to a Canadian radio show guy here. We can hear that Southernness, right? Like, just get the crawfish out, and like, we know you've got all the you got all the accent in the world there. Not necessarily as much as Enfinger, but you got it there. But
yeah, he talks about
Southern. He does, for sure. Looking at you know, it's relatively new for ARCA to have live TV for every event. You've got a lot of family and friends that are, you know, really far south. You got lots of people staying up on it, watching MAV TV, watching FS1. You know, live TV all the way throughout the season is a huge thing for ARCA, and it's been really cool for us to be able to stay up on it. But are you noticing more interaction because of that?
A little bit. I mean, I've noticed a lot more interaction from back home, from a lot of people that support me here. You know, I grew up around here, around Talladega, racing on the dirt track, or the go-kart track and the dirt track, running late models, and that's where our late model shop was also. So, and my dad had a history here, too, of racing. So it's been more so helpful and supportive for the people around here. You know, that's kind of been my goal in racing, is to make my family and friends proud, and you know, I try to do that every race and try to perform well, because I know they want to see that, and as much as they've been supporting me and watching me, you know, they definitely want to see that too. So yeah, it's definitely been great to have all the races live on FS1 and MAV. I definitely think it's just only made the value of the series higher, and I think that's also going to help for next year when NASCAR completely takes it over.
Well, you're doing a dynamite job. You're doing them all proud, I can guarantee you that. And these two Canadian guys, I can vouch for the two of us. We love watching the ARCA presented by Menard Series down there. Dynamite job. I can't wait for the next one to come out. Final question for you. I know you're focused in on what you're doing. You're trying to get that win, going to go after the championship. What's 2020 look like for you? You guys planned out there, or are you just taking a season at a time?
we're not sure yet, to be honest with you. I mean, we want to do the best we can this year, and you know, we really want to come out of this season with a championship and a few wins. We have, you know, I'm not sure what's going to come from here. Or, you know, I think if we perform well, it'll be easier to move up and into a higher series. But right now, we're just kind of focused on what we're doing right now. And but I would for sure love to move up, but I kind of have, you know, a standard for myself and what I want to do before I move up. You see a lot of people that move up into the Truck Series or Xfinity Series and not really performed at even this level and the K&N or ARCA level. And, you know, I've always kind of set that standard for myself my whole life in every division of racing I've been in, and to win or win a championship at every level before I move up. And I took that same standard into ARCA, and that's what we're going to do, and we're trying our best to do before we move up.
Well, you're looking at it the right way, my friend, and I know you're going to be successful. You're surrounded by the right people, and things are looking great. Dynamite stuff. Sponsorship on that race car means a ton.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, half of our stuff is, you know, family funded. We've taken a lot of pride in kind of building this up ourselves, and we've built up our own race teams every division of racing we've been in. And I work for our construction company also through the week, so you know, we're trying to make as much money to do this as we can to keep doing this. But them and Southern States Bank and Sunbelt Rentals, they've been a huge part of it also. They've helped us out a lot this season, so you know, I always thanks to them, and you know, without them we wouldn't be able to do it.
Well, Brett, we thank you for your time tonight on Racetime Radio. We wish you continued success. And we'll keep your spot shined up here, buddy. When that W hits, trust me, you're going to be on this program, and we can't wait.
All right, I'm looking forward to that.
You betcha. That is Brett Holmes. He is the driver of the 23. And, Joe, it is so close, man. He's right there.
He is, definitely. He's right there. He's close. They're hungry, you know. The neat part about that team is really, you know, they're standalone. You know, they are kind of out on an island. They're where Mason Mitchell Motorsports was.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
And there's a lot of similarities to it. Now it is just one car, and you know, Mason Mitchell, when he won his championship, he was one car.
Yeah,
and he grew himself and had a rental program and all of those things. But where they are, they're sustainable, you know, and there's the ability there to go out and perform and create numbers on the racetrack. And, you know, like I said, the speed that they have shown this year doesn't put them in victory lane yet.
Right.
But it's close enough to be there. It's not like it's a far off dream on the speed. They need to hit it right at a certain racetrack, and it will come. It'll fall in their lap because they're running so well. So you know, there's the if they can move up the speed chart a little bit in the practice and qualifying and find a little bit more sustainable speed, I'm telling you what, they'll be right there, and they're knocking on that door for the championship. So it's kind of theirs to lose, you know, at this point. They got nothing really to lose out back. It's all to gain. So looking forward to it. I love watching it, and I know they're using the right oils too.
Well, Venturini Motorsports, look at the success they're having this year. That's what you're up against. Four teams, and they're firing on all cylinders. Tell you what, you don't want to miss an ARCA race. Get to the track if you can to watch these things live, but absolutely if you cannot, make sure you tune in to MAV TV Canada here, MAV TV in the U.S. They got the races either there or FS1, and they got you covered. But we're going to throw it back to Toronto, get you up to date on some news and highlights. It takes 90 seconds, and we're going to be back with you for hour two tonight on Racetime Radio. We got some great guests coming up. Tag Leanne's to come, and we've got Matt Pertigo coming up next. Stay with us.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
think we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on, come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby.
Things racing.
Oh, my God.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side up, left side up.
Jimmy Johnson's blowing the race leader off too.
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
With the two Joes
here on Race Time Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, our number two begins here on Race Time Radio. It's a busy weekend at CTMP Montreal's Oliver Bernard. Sweeps the Formula 1600 triple header at CTMP this weekend. 50th anniversary celebration highlighted. Just a dynamite race weekend. It was the Vintage Grand Prix over the weekend. Coming up next at CTMP, you don't want to miss it. It is the one and only Canadian stop for the WeatherTech Series is coming, the sports car WeatherTech Series. July 4th through the 7th.
And with special guests, the Thor Sport guys will all be up here for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they will
They're
going to
be driving
right
that Multimatic
too.
Ford.
Yep.
You're going to have Matt Crafton. You're going to have Grant Enfinger, Ben Rhodes, and Johnny Sauter up here driving for that WeatherTech weekend. So that's definitely pretty cool. What a great event at CTMP.
Oh, it is.
That's an event you know that everybody raves about. So I can't call it a great event like I've been there. I haven't been there.
No.
I've never seen it.
No.
That is one event that everybody raves about, though.
Absolutely. You know, if you're a sports car fan.
It has been a staple in Canadian racing since, you know, well before the Honda Indy Toronto. It's just a massive event, massive camping, huge car count, obviously, because it is the WeatherTech Series. And it is definitely an event that, you know, I would love to see. And everybody raves about the speed that those guys carry around that racetrack.
You know, the only time I've seen that series run, I have to think back to Montreal, and it was before the NASCAR Pindy's race, back then Canadian Tire Series. And you know, the sports cars were out there, and you've seen them all.
Yeah.
You see them all, like it was dynamite racing. It was kind of cool to see.
Absolutely.
CTMP would just be the absolute ultimate place to go see those cars.
Yeah, 100%. Where I would want to be for that weekend is high atop turn 8 or turn 9.
Oh, and tell me the action wouldn't be dynamite.
I would watch from right up there for the first half of the race. And then I would jump in my vehicle. I don't know, it's a golf cart or
yeah,
a car.
Something.
I would drive around over to turn 5 and watch them from there for a bit.
Yeah.
And then I would come make my way back across and watch the finish from at the start finish line. But that's what I would do for that event. That's the neatest part about that facility, is that you have the ability to do that.
Sure.
You can drive around, you can walk around the facility. You know, there's plenty of roads, plenty of walkways.
So much to see and do.
It's a long walk. To walk from turn 8 to turn 5, though.
Yeah,
I will
is.
Tell you that right now. So definitely be camping there and you know, get your campsite, you know, figured out for that event.
Take your bike. Take your bike.
I mean, you could do that, too.
Sure you could.
Gas-powered is always more fun, though.
Yeah, good time. Tickets are on sale for that event and all of them at CTMP. So get to their site. You want to see a great race? Head there.
Yep.
It was race day out in Newfoundland today, Junior.
Yes.
Jason Groves, the number 74, won the first feature. The second feature went to the 56 of Josh Collins.
Sounds like there was a lot of hurt feelings after that deal. A lot
really?
Of bent sheet metal and
a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Yeah, quite a few racks, if you will.
Really?
By the sounds of it.
I did not see that particular part of it.
No.
Other than I believe they struggled in the first race. I don't know what happened in the second race.
Yep.
But Josh Collins definitely went to victory lane in the second one.
That's cool.
And, you know, good for Jason Groves. I believe, well, that's his, I don't know whether he had a win last year or not. I can't remember. Owen Groves.
Yes.
That youngster. came out of a Bandolero, jumped into one of those sportsman cars and won.
Last year. Yep.
So watch for that name also. Didn't see Wayne Walsh's name in there.
No,
the 99. Who knows? So he could have been in the, you know, a podium finish in both those races.
Definitely.
That 99 car is always strong. A lot of good competitors out at Eastbound. If you're ever out in Newfoundland, you got to take a night in at Eastbound. Dynamite stuff. Love that speedway.
For anybody that's a racer out there listening, we did something pretty neat on the weekend and at Andrew Grizzell's shop. I got a chance to, of course, you know, after a race like Flamborough, there's a little bit of body damage and stuff like that. So we decided, you know, on Saturday we'd take the car apart, put it back together,
right,
and knock all the dents out, you know, straighten all the bracing. And the center of the bumper, right, is folded in just gently. So it's pushed back about 4 to 5 inches.
Right.
And instead of cutting the bumper off, we used a porta power and we straightened it back out. But nothing out front.
Nothing.
So I want everybody to use their imaginations on how to do that. But we rigged it up, and it actually worked, and we were blown away by it. But it was hillbilly ingenuity at its best.
At its best.
We didn't take the rad out of the car.
No.
And we had nothing out front or underneath to strap it to. So
you pulled it.
We pushed it. That was the coolest thing ever.
Really?
I mean, it was the first time that I'd seen it work, and we had talked about doing it one other time, and this time we decided to do it. We went the lazy way, and
you got it all pushed back into place.
I can't tell you that it was pretty impressive. I mean, if you've got a little bit now, if it was a crease or if the front bumper was actually damaged, then you couldn't do it. But it's just if you just U it enough in the center of the front bumper, where you need to change it, you need to take it apart. We didn't. It was pretty cool, though. I was use your imagination on how to do it, but yeah, it was pretty hick.
Next weekend is going to be some exciting, I'll tell you.
I think it will
some
be.
Some real excitement. We are going to be live from Scotia Speed World for the Nova Truck Center's Make-A-Wish 150. That is historically always been a dynamite race. It's going to be again this year. We're going to be out there doing that race live. APC heads for Jukasa, right?
Yep. We're going to be running at Jukasa on Saturday night.
And then when NASCAR Pindies, when are you guys back up there?
The week after that at Chaudière.
Chaudière. And that is the weekend that we are going to be in PEI for the first time, going live from Oyster Bed Speedway, presented by Atlanta Tilt Load. So really looking forward to that, too. Going to a new track. Always exciting stuff. The tour's been there tons.
Yeah.
But we've never broadcasted the race live. Totally looking forward to getting out to PEI and bringing it to everybody. It's going to be awesome.
I want to give a tip of the hat right now to Delaware Speedway. They did something that I've never seen done before for this weekend.
This past weekend?
Yes, Saturday night. So the weather forecast did not look healthy, right? It looked bad all week.
Yep.
But you can usually tell when the weather forecast is going to look like that, you know, rolling into the weekend. So Thursday night, you know, they realized that, hey, look, it looked really bad for weather. They had ISMA Super Modifieds on the schedule.
Right.
They got together with the sanctioning body and said, you know, instead of you guys hauling all the way up from Ohio and New York and Buffalo and wherever else they're from, you know, why don't we wash it out for this weekend? We're going to keep our regular Saturday night schedule on,
right,
which was the modifieds and the late models.
Yep.
We'll keep those on, but we'll wash out the ISMA race. Instead of, you know, trying to piecemeal it together.
Right.
Everybody getting there. It's only a, you know, a thumbnail of a crowd.
Right.
And only 15 guys show up or eight modified show up. Instead
right.
of doing all that.
Yep.
And then raining it out anyways. They wash it out ahead of time. And, I mean, for a big series like that, for a big event like that, unheard of. But I think they're going to profit from it. Hopefully the weather's nice for the rain date. Don't know when that is.
Right.
Get to DelawareSpeedway.com. Check it out. But, you know, instead of, you know, trying to piecemeal it together.
Right.
They didn't. They washed it out. And
Well, good on them.
Yeah,
good on them. Saturday was tough. Like, Sauble Speedway. It was our practice day, all lined up.
Flamborough's the only one that got in.
Yeah. Well, we got everything ready to go for practice day, and Mother Nature, it poured. It just poured here. I noticed Sunset Speedway also got rained out. Flamborough Speedway, the rain quit just in time so that those guys could go green. So yeah. John's been doing pretty good this year. Sunset's been getting killed with rain.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You know? And by the sounds of it, they could have raced at Delaware as well. That's why I bring it up is that, you know, it did dry out and the sun ended up poking out and, you know, it ended up
turning out okay.
That there might have been the opportunity to race. But I mean, for a big show like that, the guys who are 15th on back in points or 10th on back in points, they're not coming. You know, you're not going to tow for 6 hours in with a chance of rain. With a big chance of rain.
Yeah. Wasn't a slight, maybe a passing shower.
It was calling for it all week. So, yeah. I mean, that's why I kind of want to give the tip of the hat because it's, you know, there is a rain date on the schedule. Why not run with it? You know, and instead of, you know, having everybody sit in the rain and not get any practice time in and put on a subpar race.
Right.
I mean, wash it out. You guys did a great job. And hopefully the fan feedback is really positive. And hopefully it's a sunny night the next time the Supermods are back in town.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, anybody with question about Sauble Speedway, because, you know, Sauble, that was practice and it got rained out. So the first race night comes up at the end of June 29th and 30th, so it's a double date. They're going to try and get some form of practice in. I don't know when just yet. The difficulty that the Speedway has is each one of the dates are all approved by the township, so it's not like the old days when, okay, you got rain here, we just move it to tomorrow. With the township and the circumstances that surround that makes it impossible to make just a snap decision to pick it up and move it. So I know there's going to be a plan developed so that teams get a chance to get some practice in before the green goes in the air. I just don't know what the plan is as of yet, but we'll keep you up to date. And, of course, keep your eye on the Sauble Speedway Facebook page and Twitter account, and we'll make sure we get you that information as soon as you can. But, it's just terrible, terrible stuff. Yep. Anybody that's racing at Sauble has got to be looking up at the sky going, what do I got to do to get a nice day here?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Same with the farmers all over Ontario. Well, really, all across Canada.
Yeah.
The weather has been atrocious. It's either way too hot and too dry out west or too wet and too cold here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the way it is.
That's okay. It's all going to change. Next weekend, it's going to be perfect from there all the way through.
Hot and dry all the way through.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice?
Until like November.
I'll tell you what. We're going to hit this break, and when we come back, we're going to grab that APC winner from the last time out, the Interstate Batteries 100 winner. We got Matt Pertigo going to join us on the other side of the break, and we'll talk about that big night for Matt. And we'll also have Alex Tagliani coming up before the top of the hour. So stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
Any way you want it, that's the way you need it. Any way you want it.
Hi, this is Tim Ellis, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
Summer is in full swing at Scotia Speed World.
Join us live
Saturday, June 22nd for live coverage of the Nova Truck Center's Make-A-Wish 150.
I think you got to go now.
Give me a gap, open up, you want to bring it home? Yeah!
It's Canada's Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour.
Saturday, June 22nd
at 4 p.m. Eastern for the Nova Truck Center's Make-A-Wish 150. Worldwide, only on racetimeradio.com.
Good job, bud.
Fox News Headlines 24/7 is on Sirius XM with headlines every 15 minutes.
I'm Kevin Rincon.
I'm Therese Crowley.
I'm Jim McKay.
A channel that delivers your world news, business, what's trending in digital, entertainment, and sports.
Your news in a way you've never heard before with headlines every 15 minutes.
Fox News Headlines 24/7. All the information you need, ready when you are.
We're live from America's News Headquarters.
Sirius XM Channel 115 or listen on the Sirius XM app.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tilt Load, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Don't get stuck waiting for your machinery and materials to be moved. Call Atlantic Tilt Load in Dartmouth or St. John to ask about 24-hour hotshot service. They have the equipment, drivers, and experience to get your cargo where it needs to be swiftly and efficiently. Can provide logistics planning, including escort vehicles and special move permits. They've been moving heavy industrial equipment throughout Canada and the U.S. since 1991, including overweight and over-dimensional shipments. For your next industrial heavy move, call Atlantic Tilt Load.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Taking you all the way to the track.
And back.
It's Race Time Radio.
And we are back with you live tonight on Race Time Radio. So glad you could tune in. If you're tuned in on SiriusXM Channel 167, good evening to you. Or maybe the Performance Motorsport Network.com throughout the course of the week. We want to thank you for tuning in. Or maybe 98.9 XFM out in Antigonish, Nova Scotia. We'll be back out to see you soon at Riverside Speedway. Or maybe Gearhead Country Radio, whatever way you've tuned in. If you happen to have missed any part of the show and you want to pick up on it and have a listen to the whole thing, you can do that. Just go to iTunes and search Racetime Radio, and presto, you'll have it. Hit subscribe, and you'll never miss Racetime Radio again. But let's get back to the hotline. Let's talk to a winner. He went to Victory Lane just a week ago at Flamborough Speedway in the Interstate Batteries 100 for the APC Series. Let's welcome in driver of the 21 Global Warranty Toyota. We have Matt Pertigo on this hotline. What's going on, Matty? How you doing?
Good, guys. How you guys doing tonight? Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, happy Father's Day to you too, buddy. How are things?
Good. Not too bad. Just actually got home from Father's Day dinner, so finally relaxing, just hanging out in the garage, watching TV, playing with the ATVs.
You got to love it. How's that 21? You got everything ready to go for next weekend? Big race coming up.
Yeah, you know what? We were super quick last weekend. We're just going to carry that momentum coming into Ducasse this coming weekend. I think we have a date booked to test there actually this week sometime, just to shake down, make sure everything's good. We actually did that prior to running last weekend's race in Flamborough as well. So I think that's working out well for us. We're getting a really good setup down by doing that. So we're going to, like I said, carry the momentum forward on the 21 Global Warranty Toyota, and hope to come out with another win.
Well, I guess so. That's the object of the game, my friend. You want to get out there and win as many as you can. Testing does pay off, right? Sometimes you get out there and, I don't know, you waste a pile of tires and fuel and maybe don't learn anything, but more often than not, you're coming away with information that's really going to pay dividends when you get into that main event.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. You know, anywhere from, a setup, to even a certain gear, right? We're running new tires this year compared to last year, so the gearing is different at every track. And realistically, we don't have that much practice in an APC Series race. I think maybe 20 minutes, two sessions at 20 minutes at best. and a gear change will kill that whole session, let alone. So, you know, we'll get our gearing down pat, get a good, really good baseline set up for the weekend coming up. And I think we're going to have a rocking 21 car again.
Gotta love it, Matt. Let's look back at that Interstate Batteries 100. I know from watching the video and taking a look at everything, a little bit of controversy at the end of this one. It was kind of a, let's not call it a rough race, but there was definitely contact with a pile of different race cars throughout the course of that 100-lap event. Did it feel rough inside the car, and what sort of took place on that final restart?
Yeah, no, that was, you know what, that was a long race. I think it was like 2 hours, 2.5 hours or something. There was a lot of cautions that that race. A lot of wrecked cars, unfortunately. And I think a lot of unnecessary wrecked cars, to be totally honest with you. I watched the video as well, like you guys did, and I'm sure you guys saw a ton of contact. But yeah, no, it's you know, a racing deal. We'll put it this way. Our car was super fast in the center of the corner. And I got a good run coming out of two, gave him a little nudge just to lose a little traction, and I was able to get up beside him, going down the back straight away. He niched me down just a little bit, but hey, it's a leader. I would do the same thing, and, got into him, going into three, and, luckily we came out with the best there.
Yeah. And that's the way it happens sometimes. And, I know, Matt, from watching you race, you're not the kind of guy that would wreck somebody to go win a race.
No, not at all.
In the same respect, you know, there was contact, and there's going to be, by the look of what I've seen from Flamborough Speedway, in that race, there was a lot of contact from a lot of different cars. I said, and I'll still maintain, it speaks to the competition in the series and, you know, the drive. Everybody wants to win.
For sure, we're not out there. Well, we are out there to have fun, but we're also out there to win. You know, if someone else was in my shoes, I guarantee you they would have did the same thing. A win's a win. That's what we go for. Unfortunately, last year we had trouble the first couple of races of the season. So, you know, with a win, the second race into the year, it really puts our chances a little higher winning the championship, unlike last year. So we've never really been in this spot before, which is a great feeling. And like I said, really, really going to push and carry that momentum forward to the next race. Rick, Mike, everyone at McCall Racing, all the guys on our crew have done a phenomenal job, working on the car and getting it ready. So, and to be honest with you, I think the results speak for themselves. I think it was a McCall car, 1-2-3 finished last race. So, everyone's doing the right thing on these cars, and we're really looking forward to the next AP race.
Well, you gotta love it when a plan comes together. I gotta ask you though, we hear it all the time in the big series, the Cup guys talk about it. You know, two guys that are friends actually have contact on the track. Somebody's got hurt feelings, and, They talk about making a phone call. Did you make a phone call to JR? Have you guys spoke about it, to, you know, maybe lay it out?
No, I haven't spoke to him. We spoke after the race briefly, but really, really nothing major. You know, it's like I said, it's a racing deal. I have total respect for the guy, and I'm sure he does likewise. We've always raced each other clean, but, you know, like you said, like everyone says, the last lap, or last corner of the race, big race. You got to do what you got to do. You put your friendships, acquaintances, whatever on the line. And we're out there to win. And fortunate enough, that's what happened with us. And to be able to totally honest with you, if he was in his position where I was next race, I don't blame him for doing the same thing. Whatever happens next race.
Absolutely. Looking at the speed chart, Matt, all the way through the weekend, of course, the beginning, the first practice session, right the way through qualifying. Now, I didn't see the lap times throughout the race, but I imagine it's more of the same. All the way through the weekend, basically, the speed chart was separated by 0.2, if not just over 2.5 tenths, you know, back to, like, 18th place.
Yeah, crazy.
Talk about the parity right now in the APC series. I don't think that there could be any more parity on the racetrack than what we see out of that series right now.
It's like anyone could win. You know, it every lap's different. You never really know who's going to win one of these races. You know, Sims won the first race. I won the second. The speeds are so close in this series. It's phenomenal. You know, and like you said, 2 tenths separates 18 cars or whatever. So it does a plot to the series, the director, everyone for keeping these rules so tight. Obviously, everyone seems to be abiding by them because everyone's so quick and so close together. And not only that, it's preparation. Obviously, you have at least 18 guys who are really, really prepping their cars for these races. And, you know, that shows a lot for the series. I think it's a phenomenal series. I think Luke and his crew are doing a phenomenal job. And I think it's one of the best series there are in Canada or even North America. There's 30 cars almost each race? That's crazy.
Yeah. Excellent car count, great participation, and the quality of what's coming out is just mind-blowing, actually.
Sure.
It's those little things now, right, Matt, that's going to make a big difference, and it always has been, but now even the real minor things, when you're talking fields that are that close together, you got to try and somehow or another find an advantage, and everybody is digging.
Yeah, no, I agree. We changed up actually the way we practice. Like you mentioned, everyone's so close to practice. But, you know, the last couple of years, we've been putting new sets of tires on for practice. But, you know, as you know, you don't win the race by qualifying. You win it on that 99th lap or the last corner, right? So we've been practicing on old tires. That obviously paid off pretty well last race, and I think we're going to go ahead and do that. Not only that, like you said, preparation, setup, just having each crew member doing what they're supposed to be doing. When you come in after a practice run, they know what they're doing. They can translate that to the car. We can get out for that last half of the first session, which is great, and that's what we were able to accomplish last race. So we're going to look to doing that again in Newcastle. Like I said, I think we have a test day booked this week as well, so that's definitely going to help. And hopefully carry this win streak on to another one.
Matt, obviously you're the winner, but you've been a great advocate for all of the sport and really of the series.
Thanks.
Looking at the practice time when you do look at the APC series, does it currently right now? And this is a conversation that we had over the weekend. Does it kind of limit the guys over the course of the weekend to a small amount of practice, but then force you to go out and test? With the limited amount that you guys get at the racetrack, what would stop the need for the constant testing in late model racing, or would it?
I you know, we test because we want to win.
Absolutely.
JR tested last week at Jukasa. He wants to win. Yeah, we get a small amount of practice in the APC series. A little more would be nice. Whether scuff the tires, because as you know, we had that, you know, tire scuffing issue or whatever it was. I find if you test, you're going to be ahead of the game.
100%.
You know, just your crew's got to be on the ball. They can't be diddling around the car when you come in. You got to get in, make a change, go out. I think testing is a big key to winning. If you look, probably the top five cars in the standings right now. They're out there at least once a week at a track or something like that. So I think that's a big game changer.
Yeah.
The speeds won't get any higher all season long than what they're going to get for you guys next weekend at Jukasa Speedway. Do you approach that race any differently with the higher speeds?
Nope. You know what? It's just another race. New weekend coming up. I love that track. I had a ton of fun there the last couple of races. So, realistically, what we're looking at doing is, you know, qualify fourth, fifth, start there. I don't know why, but if we qualify and get the pole, we never win the race. So
I don't want the pole. Keep the pole away from me. Give it to somebody else.
You know what? I'm not looking forward to that. But yeah, no, you qualify fourth, fifth, just like we did Flam Road. Just take it easy. You know, I think at one point we had at least 12 car lead at Flam Road going into lap 90. So I personally rather start around fourth, fifth, just slowly make my way to the front. If we get the lead at a certain point, perfect. But, you know, Flamborough's a little different than Newcastle. There's obviously a lot of cautions at Flamborough. Usually when there's caution at Newcastle, a car is pretty mashed up. So, we're looking forward to it. Like I said, qualify fourth, fifth, right in that area. Just hang loose and wait till the last 50 and then just buckle down and get going.
It's going to be exciting, I can guarantee it. Matt, this has been great catching up with you tonight. Those sponsors on your car got to mean a ton.
Yeah, no, the Global Warranty, the whole Global Warranty crew is amazing. It's out of town. Glencoe Auto Recycles, Napa Body Shops, and Cadillac Industrial Cleaning, you know, they all help out. They're at every race, fully support us, and we fully support them whenever we can. So really, really happy to have everyone on board this year, and looking for our first championship this year.
Well, good luck at UCASA. I know we'll be getting the winner on. Maybe it'll be you, bud.
Hopefully talk to you again next weekend.
You want to believe it. That's Matt Pertigo, driver of the number 21 in that APC series. Two races, one win. How about it?
One guy that, you know, and we're, of course, going back to, you know, last week, and we're still talking about it, but, you know, a guy that we got to give a big tip of the hat to is Jordan Sims.
Yes.
And he proved to me that he is there to dominate this championship.
Yes, sir.
And the reason why I say that the most is he was very fast all the way through the practice session, qualifying, and the race at Sunset. Impressed a lot of people with how he finished, how he raced, everything. Flamborough was a different ball game. He unloaded, and you know, I believe that he got three, maybe five laps in the first session, and I believe it was a fuel pump. That's what I heard.
Right.
Failed on the car. They were struggling to get it put back together, and they even unloaded the McCall backup car. So McCall brings a backup car for any of his house cars or clients. If they need it, they can unload it, put a duct tape number on the door, and have it ready to go. And it's a really good car. So they were down to the point where they weren't going to make it through tech for qualifying, you know, with that 47 car. So very limited amount of testing. They finally got it. They weren't allowed to go out and do any test laps, but they allowed him to drive it through the pit area.
Right.
And so he drove it up and down pit road, like in behind the scenes. It ran good. It was running again. And went through tech and made it out just in time for his group. Of course, your first group out because he didn't turn any fast laps.
Right.
And he went out there and qualified third.
Really?
With a 15-0.
Wow.
And it was like a 0-9. And Trayton Lapsovich got the pole with, I believe, a 0-3 or a 0-5. He was very close to getting the pole.
Right.
Definitely in the invert, he you know, got shuffled back and you know, he had to start back there and then ran into issues on the racetrack. Which, I mean, everybody in the field had issues on the racetrack.
Yeah.
But, you know, that alone, that showed the speed that they have that they're bringing to the racetrack. They're bringing a bullet. They're bringing a rocket ship to the racetrack. And a lot of people took note of that. Very hard to do. If you don't have much practice time on a track like Flamborough, we had
not a lot of experience, right?
Exactly.
Admittedly, by Jordan, he said, man, I haven't got laps at Flamborough.
Yeah.
So
it was a place that he didn't really necessarily hate or like.
Yeah, because
he didn't know what to expect or anything. So really, to go out there and lay down a lap like that, it proves that they're bringing their best and they're bringing, you know, everything that it takes. Now, obviously, with the damage that he left with, there was quite a bit of nose damage, and there, you know, there was a lot of work to be done on that race car when it left the racetrack. But for a team to do that on very limited amount of practice time proved to me that, you know, you can have a night bad if you have that luxury of having speed. And they have that luxury right now. They have speed. And I think a lot of people are going to be playing a little bit of catch-up to find where that speed's coming from. I think given a different circumstance, that 47 would have been right up front battling for that win. It'll be really interesting to see at a place like Jucasa, where speed is king, or Delaware Speedway, where speed is king, what that 47 can do from here on out. So there's a lot of unknowns rolling into race number three.
Well, it's going to be very interesting. You can guarantee it. Don't miss Jucasa. It's going to be a dynamite race. We're going to hit this break. When we come back, a guy that I've been meaning to talk to and wanting to talk to, since January. We got Alex Tagliani coming up on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
Hi, race fans. Marty Gaunt, listening to Racetime Radio.
You can never know. You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tilt Load, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
Summer is in full swing at Scotia Speed World.
Join us live
Saturday, June 22nd
for live coverage of the Nova Truck Center's Make-A-Wish 150.
I think you gotta go now.
Give me a gap, open up, you want it, bring it home, yeah!
It's Canada's Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour.
Saturday, June 22nd
at 4 p.m. Eastern for the Nova Truck Center's Make-A-Wish 150. Worldwide, only on racetimeradio.com.
Good job, bud!
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
New to SiriusXM, it's Faction Talk.
Whoa, cut it out.
Lucky us, what a time to be alive.
Mornings with Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
I get tweets every day about how terrible my co-host is, but I don't listen to him.
Absolutely, because I'm the one sending them.
That's Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
Hot takes on hot topics.
That's right, no sloughing off on this radio show.
Live Monday through Friday from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, only on Faction Talk, SiriusXM 103. Or listen on demand with the SiriusXM app.
More Short Track Live, coast to coast, next. Only on Racetime Radio.
Everyone wants to be on Canada Talks, including Oprah Winfrey.
The biggest step is the first one. And before the biggest step is the decision to take it. You know, I think everything happens when you decide. And once you decide, the universe arranges itself in alignment with that decision.
Don't miss a second. Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167, and on demand with the SiriusXM app.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Race Time Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. There we go. All the brakes out of the way. We've cleared the track. And we've got one of Canada's most outstanding superstars. We got him. Alex Tagliani is on this hotline. What's going on, Alex? How you doing?
Yeah, very good. First of all, happy Father's Day.
Yes, happy Father's Day to you, too. How are things going?
Yeah, it was a great day, finally. A bit of sun, so we could work around the house and spend some time with Eva.
Good deal. That's what you need. A little quality time at home will make for a real fast race car next time out, right?
Exactly, exactly. a bigger break than usual, but it gives the time to the team to reset and get things ready. Right after the next one, at the end of the month, we'll have a pretty busy month of July. We're going out west and the race at Toronto Indy as well. So yeah, it's pretty cool that the boys have the chance to have a bigger break just before we start the next stretch.
Absolutely. And now, when you go to, you spent last weekend at a different racetrack, you can't drive your Pinty's car into the corner as hard as those guys can, but you spent some time at the F1 car, or at the F1 race over in Montreal. Talk to us a little bit about that before we get into your season.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great experience, you know, like a couple friends in the Ferrari's garage, a really
you know, eye-opener to see those guys work. You know, thanks to the whole group of Octane Management, François Dumontier and their team. First of all, they did a great job. I mean, the weekend was fantastic. You know, three sunny days, and the new facility looks outstanding from a, you know, TV perspective. But out there, it was just, you know, kind of absorbing, you know, everything that was going on. And Ferrari boys didn't start the weekend very good. And they had a TV on in the garage that nobody can see, but there's 50 engineers sitting in a room, like a mission control room up in Italy. And with the time change, it was probably 10 o'clock at night. And they had one of their test driver sitting in the sim, driving laps around the Montreal circuit, even if he was in Italy, and all the data from the car was shared live to those guys, and they were literally tripling the test they were doing on the car and trying stuff, and getting back to the guys in the garage here in Montreal saying, "You shouldn't say it. You shouldn't test that. This didn't work. This maybe it's better." And finally, with all that work, they got the car better for FP2 and for three, and then qualifying, they stuck it on the pole. So it was really amazing to see how much work, how much money, how much personnel there is at both ends of the world working on these machines for a practice session.
Now, no taking any of that and applying it to your Pinty's team. I can't see Tyler sort of dialing back to, I don't know, wherever
Overton
to get all that.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing, man. The technology.
It's a different, you know, it's a different thing. It's a different approach, right? You know, they have like a lot of they have a lot of access and a lot of telemetry access during the practice session, something that we can't have in NASCAR. So it's, you know, and that's why, and there's so many engineers, like so many engineers, like the driver has to compose with, you know, like multiple engineers from different backgrounds that they're looking at all kinds of things on the car. And in NASCAR, we have a good relationship with the crew chief. The crew chief is basically the middleman between, you know, the driver and the car, and so the relationship is very important because there's no data. You know, he can't see what the car does. He has to rely on what you're telling him, and then he makes some changes, and feedback is really important. You know, like, so, you know, connecting with the guy that, you know, works on your car and understanding what his driver needs and what sort of changes he's going to go with is the key, because we have absolutely no data. We're working blind in practice session.
Yeah, pretty wild. You and Tyler Case, your crew chief, the chemistry that you guys have developed has really been something special. You can see it on the racetrack, and to see you guys in action is just it's incredible to watch.
Yeah, I think we have a very good relationship, and I like the fact that last year we said let's take 2017 from a road course standpoint. Let's say, you know, 2018, and bring some 2016 oval and put it together and try to make one season, right? And for the first time, we got like way more consistent. You know, we were running in the top five quite a bit, and we ended up, you know, being able to fight for a championship, recovering from a pretty bad race one, and a few missteps, but it was a strong season. So I was really happy about that, and I was really happy about, you know, sometimes when, you know, we were not in the window. We tested a bunch of things in practice with the short practice that we have, and just before we launch it in qualifying, we make an educated, you know, guess on what we need to do, and, you know, like most of the time it works well. So that's also what helped us be strong and score some valuable points during the year.
We're with Alex Tagliani tonight talking NASCAR Pindies. He is just 2 weeks away from heading to Chaudière, Quebec on the oval track next. And then, Alex, you head right into from here on is really the sweet spot for you. It doesn't seem to matter whether it's Chaudière or whether you're heading to Honda Indy Toronto. These are all tracks that you can win on, you have won on, and you're heading right into the sweet spot of the season. Is it feeling good? Is it feeling as good as it looks for you right now?
I would say that yes and no. I mean, we're fourth in the points, so it's not too bad. We still have some question marks that we need to answer to ourselves with the new tire, that we feel that we're undecided in the direction that we wanna go. I think, you know, Chaudière is going to be a good test, but not the ultimate test, because we came from Jukasa, and Jukasa is quite a big track for us. There's a New Hampshire that's bigger, but obviously Chaudière is going to be very, very different, super tight with a lot of banking. So I would say that the approach is still different, and we'll see, you know, how the car is going to react there. But there are some few things that we need to address on our car to be a little bit quicker and to be better on our tires. So everybody's in the same boat, but we're trying all kinds of things. The team has some ideas on what direction to go, and it's going to be trial and error. I mean, we're going to try things, and if it doesn't work, we take them off, and if they work, we keep them on. And at some point, when we're going to feel that we're back in the window and into the fine-tuning window, that's where, you know, I feel the sweet spot should be, and that's where we are at our best. Because when we arrive at the track and we're in within the window because we know what the tires want and we know what the car needs, that's when Tyler and I and the entire team were working really well to go and get that extra tenth of a second that we need, or that extra, you know, long run on the tires to make sure that we're strong at the end. But to be able to have the time to do that and to work that way, we need to unload more in the sweet spot, so then we give ourselves a chance to extract everything we need from the car, myself, and everybody.
Tags, obviously, number one, I'm going to start out with this conversation with this point. We're not like a lot of other media outlets that's going to try to stir up controversy. We want to just talk about the race events and talk about stuff that actually happens. But I think we would be, you know, we'd be missing the boat if we didn't talk a little bit about it. On the teammate contact side, within the 22 camp, it seems like you guys have been racing each other very aggressively to kick off the beginning portion of this season. Has that been kind of addressed internally, or you know, what's it look like throughout the rest of the year? I know you guys all want to win. There's three drivers in that camp that want to win and are capable of winning, but it seems like you guys are magnetic and on the racetrack, and it seems like you guys have created a little bit of, you know, a little bit of internal contact out on the racetrack. Has that been addressed, or is that just part of racing?
I think you know, since there's no team order, you know, we all have our own sponsor, we all have our own group, we all have our own, you know, kind of entity. So the 18, the 22, the 24, you know, it's the dynamic that, you know, racing is at the moment. You know, if Scott would have, you know, three budgets, hire his driver, you're under, you know, basically he's the boss. He's still the boss. I mean, I treat him with a lot of respect, and he makes all the call. But at the end of the day, it's going to be difficult to implement, you know, the type of philosophy that you have, you know, at Penske when the guys are hired and they need to listen to what the team say.
Yeah.
But that being said, it doesn't mean that, you know, the drivers didn't talk. I mean, I had a good talk with Mark. You know, I would say that incident is 50-50. You know, it's a race incident. So when it's a race incident, it's 50-50. I'm not going to point finger. Everybody has their own opinion. I think it was pretty early in the race to do a move like this. I didn't expect it. You know, there's a very short run to make the corner, and I mean, I've done this move a million times with Ranger, but you really need to make sure you're side by side going in. If you're, you know, if you're coming in and the driver already start turning to his lane, it's, you know, 99% of the time you'll have a contact. So it's pretty tricky, and because it was early in the race, I didn't really pay too much attention. I look in my mirror, I didn't really see his move. I looked forward, you know, and then when I turn in, I just, you know, like didn't even look, just because I took the assumption that he was not going to launch himself because he didn't do it early enough. And then I got surprised by the contact. So,
gotcha.
Knowing that he was going to do that move, yes, I could have opened the door more and let him fly by because he was coming in with a head of steam, and I could have crisscrossed him. But yeah, it was an unexpected move on that I didn't expect at that particular time in the race. So we spoke. I mean, Mark and I were good friends, so we need to make sure that these type of things don't happen again. But I think this is going to be up to us to you know, to fix it in the future. And I think it's going to be pretty easy to fix, I think.
Very answered with class. And I don't mean to, I'm not trying to get in between anybody. I just wanted, you know, because it was visible, you know, you could see it. And you definitely, you guys are both hard-nosed competitors. And you know, I'd never want to see you guys change how you guys race, because I love the way that both of you guys drive. It's just, you know, just wanted to check in on it. But,
and it's a pretty tricky corner. I mean, honestly, 100%. Like, I have no problem discussing the situation. I mean, to me, I'm really open, and
yeah, exactly.
You know, if I make a mistake, I'll call it. If I don't make a mistake, I'll call it too. You know, I made one in the past against Clute. You know, like you, I wanted to be so close to make that move that as soon as he, you know, turned left and, you know, he got oversteer a little bit and I launched, I basically clipped his right rear and I spun him, and that was my mistake, you know. But, I mean, this corner, to really make a move, not to do a bonsai move, you really need to launch so close from the other guy to make sure you have a chance to do a side-by-side braking that, you know, because this is the way I think when I'm doing the move, I also think like that when someone's follow me. And maybe that was my mistake, you know, to expect a little bit the way I would have done it, but at the end of the day, I should open my eyes, you know, for all kinds of, you know, situation if someone takes a risk doing it on lap three, you know, and also because it was my teammate, you know, and you know, I thought that, you know, maybe a little bit later could have been, you know, different deal. So, but, you know, so I'm going to address that on my own. Hopefully he will address, you know, what he needs to address on his own, and then we'll continue to race hard, and we'll be fine.
If you're tuned in to Race Time Radio, that is Alex Taglietti on the hotline with us. And we're talking NASCAR Pinty's season really just getting underway, and things are coming into it. Chaudière is up next for the NASCAR Pinty Series. And then on to Toronto. The West Coast is coming up. They go out to the East Coast. And it's a busy season after this little break, Alex. You alluded to it off the top. We got a little time right now, but then things are going to pick up busy. It's going to be a busy July for you and into August. What track are you most looking forward to coming up on the schedule?
The Indy. I'm answering it for you. I know that you're hungry to get back to the Indy after last year.
Yeah, but to tell you the truth, you know, like what I like about our championship now is that, you know, the guys are really good, right? I mean, there's really good cars, there's really good team, really good drivers. You never know, you know, I mean, top 10 is pretty strong. And you have multiple tracks, you know, that are different, and they all have their character, you know, every track has their own little character and characteristic. You know, you have Indy is a street course, but man, there's concrete everywhere at the apex. So, you know, the car goes in, the front slides, then the front grabs on the asphalt, the rear's on the concrete, oversteer, you know, pretty tricky to drive. then you have tree reverse, amazing track, and then you have Mossport with these new tires. I mean, it's really just amazing. I mean, we enjoy qualifying. I was talking with Andrew at the end of qualifying, and Kevin and Clute, and we were like, oh my God, I mean, you know, for the first time with the level of grip that we have in qualifying, is just, you know, extracting every tenth of a second makes it, you know, kind of fun, right? And you know, the car is good on one lap, and I really enjoy it. It was one of the best qualifying session that I felt, you know, over the last 6 years. So it's going to be interesting for the road course. But the ovals too, I mean, everybody is searching, everybody is unsure, you know, the DJ, K Racing team has it, you know, figured out. I think the three cars were quite strong there, so they're going to continue to be strong. But as soon as more cars are figuring out the tires, it's going to close up the gap, and then, you know, the racing that we'll have on ovals is going to be, you know, as good as we have on street course, and going to be pretty tight. And I think because the new tires are always, you know, a new thing, you know, we're learning new stuff every time you're going to a racetrack, the way they adapt, you know, how the track is. And so I feel that it's going to be wide open pretty much the whole season, and it's going to be fun for the fans. And yeah, and the series is doing a lot of good stuff marketing wise, and we feel the good vibe. So yeah, we're excited.
You gotta love it. Live TV also available on Fans Choice. Not everything in Canada. A little bone to pick with that, but not bad. You got some live stuff that does take place on Fans Choice, and in the U.S. you get everything live. Pretty good deal, and it's a good step forward, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, I mean, I can mention one thing. You know, I mean, you know, Colin from Cantor, he's been a good sponsor of mine and a good friend for a long time, and with all the stuff that the series announced this year, I mean, he's really enjoyed it. He really liked it. He feels energized. And over the last couple of years, you know, I know his company has worked really hard to manufacture some tools, and now they, with the manufacturing investment they made, they're ready to look for some distributors and people that are going to work with this company all across Canada. And I'm glad that we were able to keep the relationship, and he was also excited about the new, you know, energy that NASCAR was putting in to keep, you know, his sponsorship and to keep his partnership on the car and with me and with the team. So, you know, overall, you know, every decision, you know, you don't know to what extent it helps, but I'm glad that, you know, there's so many new things that the series is working on, because it makes a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Alex, this has been great catching up with you. Darn, we're just about out of time once again tonight. But it's been great catching up with you. I know we look forward to whatever comes up throughout the course of the rest of the season. I know we could spend an hour with you, and the next time we're going to set aside the hour, because I know you got lots to talk about. We got a big season coming up, and we want to wish you luck at Chaudière and beyond, and I know we're going to get you back on this show in no time.
Thanks, guys. Thank you so much. You guys are doing great, and thanks for the support towards the series. Awesome.
You're dynamite. Thanks so much. That's Alex Tagliani. You can see him in the number 18, drives a Rona EpiPen Chevrolet, I believe. Right?
He'll be right out back, right behind the 27. You can see him if you're watching the... I'm just kidding.
I know, man.
I said that only so Tyler will text me after.
Yeah, and he will be.
See you guys.
Know what? That's going to do it for us here tonight on Racetime Radio. Sure do hope you enjoyed the show. Let your friends know about it, and we'll catch up with you again next Sunday night. Don't forget to tune in Saturday as we have the Nova Truck Center's Make-A-Wish 150 coming at you live next Saturday on racetimeradio.com. But that's going to do it for Junior and I in the studio. You have a good one, and we'll catch you next week. Have a great race week, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384.
We hope you'll join us again next time for more Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.